You're listening to the Jason Greger Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. They will steer you straight with a 39.95 wheel alignment. Check it out at lakewoodchev.com. Daryl Marchuk joins us once in World Health. Daryl, how you doing?
Excellent. Glad to be on.
Well, I think it's fitting today. We're talking knee injuries. A lot of rumblings that Andre Sekera has it. How much of a knee injury is part of the game, and how much is preventable?
Well, there's definitely some things that are uncontrollable for a player or an athlete. I mean, when there's impact stuff like Andre Sekera, there's a hit into the boards or a player falling onto the knee. Like, there's no training program that's going to prevent a knee ligament from exploding when a 300-pound lineman falls on it. And then there's definitely some things like rapid deceleration. So, you know, a wide receiver who has to sprint full speed and try to cut at 90 degrees, that rapid deceleration and loading on the muscle and ligament is something that often causes a tear. And those are things that are part of the game, so they're uncontrollable. But when we really think about training a body or trying to prepare an athlete for sport, it is trying to focus on the things that are in their control to minimize the risk of injury. Of course, you can never prevent it completely, but it's all about minimizing their risk of having, you know, a catastrophic knee injury that's going to take them out of a game or a playoff series.
So if they win a knee injury, or if it has occurred, what should someone work on when they are coming back from that knee injury?
Well, I think in order to understand what they need to work on, we have to understand what's first in their control. So one of the things that causes or can cause a catastrophic knee injury is overuse over time or wearing over time. So if we think about a ligament like a bunch of strings that are put together, if we're constantly putting pressure on the wrong way and those strings start snapping one by one, eventually it's going to go. So one of the biggest things we look at when we're training somebody is for something that's called a valgus knee loading pattern, which essentially is, you know, for the listeners out there, think about what a goalie does when they go down into a butterfly. They drop down, but if you can imagine when you're jumping, your knees doing that, RG3 is a perfect example. So Robert Griffin, if you, any of your listeners Google RG3 combine jump, you'll see what I'm talking about. His knees gum right in. And so every single time he goes to generate power, he's doing it in a way that's causing stress on the knee. And eventually that's going to pop. So that's one of the things. And then from there, there's a couple others. So ankle mobility is a big one because it causes that knee to come in. Hamstring work is a big one as well, because with imbalance between the hamstring and the quad, it can increase injury to the ligaments in the knee. And balance is actually a huge one. So a really simple test for everybody is if they can stand on one foot with their eyes closed and not tip over. If you cannot do that for 15 seconds comfortably, the risk of significant knee injury goes up dramatically. So we have to think about some of the things that are controllable in order to know how to train if there is an injury.
Daryl Marchuk from World Health. Now, why is it with your eyes closed that makes it so much harder?
You don't have your other senses, right? So it's just the actual proprioception and the feeling in the muscle that's keeping you there instead of being able to rely on the different senses.
I'm standing here right now trying to do it, and literally Struts is laughing. It's way harder with your eyes closed.
It's very, very difficult. And a really good comparison on why that's important for sport is when loading is going through a knee, for example, in sport, it's not always seen. You kind of have to be able to react without seeing something coming. So, for example, a hockey player is not always going to see that person over their shoulder that's about to come run them into the boards. And same with a football player or even a soccer player, which isn't a collision sport, but there's somebody coming and may slip or apply pressure. So you have to be able to do it without even seeing it.
Daryl, so what are some of the other specific exercises you can do?
There's a few things. First of all, I would encourage everybody, if they are coming back from an injury, please go to physio. I can't stress enough how many times I've heard, you know, somebody comes in and wants to get stronger and back for their sport. And I said, well, did you do your initial physio? And they say, no, I let time heal it. You know, the body's a great machine that heals itself. It's actually not. The body kind of does it in a way where it puts things together, but not in a really efficient pattern. Scar tissue gets laid down in all these different directions, that initial physio component is super, super, super important. But other specific things to do, one of them is really actually work a lot on mobilizing. So that foam roller, as much as people think it might not be the most important part of their program, post-injury, it really, really is. So what happens when we have an injury is there's a splinting effect on all the muscles. It's a protective mechanism to create stability in an unstable joint. Specifically, the knee is what we're talking about. So often you get a lot of these weird tightness imbalances through the calf, the quad, the hamstring, and then it actually creates a chain of misalignment through the body. So without starting to do that proper mobility work, people will start to train and train too hard, but they're training in a position where their body's already out of alignment. So that just causes more problems down the line. Another one is you've got to get back to the strength training stuff. So lift some weights, but do it really slowly. So what I do with a lot of clients is start them with a very slow tempo of 5 seconds up and 5 seconds down. So imagine doing a lunge where it takes you 5 seconds to go down to the ground and then 5 seconds to come up again. That's really going to create strength in every single part of the range of motion and do it very, very safely. So you can bring that person back up to the strength they need. And then from there, you move to a tempo that more specifically matches the sport. So if it's something where they're going to be doing more explosive work, you can eventually do that. But you have to build that base up again from going slowly to doing it a little bit more quickly. And then afterwards, you can start to add things like plyometric work, etc.
Daryl, great stuff, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.